Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 195. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And finally, some stuff here this week.
Yeah.
We got a lot to cover and a limited amount of time, so we're just going to get right into it with the two big theatrical releases. We're actually going to start with one that Chris, you saw and I didn't. That's Happy Death Day to You.
Yeah.
So you go. I'll let you take it because I have much to say because I haven't seen it.
So it's a sequel to 2017's kind of horror comedy, Happy Death Day. That one was like a comedic take on a slasher film with like a cool premise, like kind of Groundhog's Day-ish. Same thing kind of here, but they kind of dump a lot of the horror and go for more of like a sci-fi approach with this one, where the film starts off Tree, who played by Jessica Roth, who Jeff hates. She's vanquished her foe. She's killed her roommate. She's stopped the serial killer, and she's fine. She broke the loop. Her new boyfriend Carter, his roommate, Ryan, who you see him a couple times throughout the movie in the original, where he's the one that like busts in to the room after she wakes up. He has created this thing. He's a scientist of sorts at this college, and he has created this device that is like fucked up the space-time continuum, and it's actually what is creating the loop. And he has now found himself in a loop where he is waking up and getting killed and waking up and getting killed. Tree, having already gone through all this, knows what's up. She explains it. They start to shut this down and cease the loop. And she ends up getting transported to a different dimension, like where shit is the same but different, like a parallel reality kind of, where her mom is still alive, like, but she's also like she is not with her boyfriend anymore, and people are slightly different here and there. So it plays off things like, one of the themes is like, should she kind of give up her future that she had in her reality for this one in this reality? And so she's kind of like, there's a lot of bouncing back and forth, and there's still a lot of fun play off of her getting killed. In this one, she's just like kind of killing herself to reset the day a lot of the times. I think in the trailer you probably have seen like she jumps out of an airplane, like a bikini or something, so it's stuff like that. It's the setups are amusing for the kills. It's a little bit lighter than the first one, which I still think was pretty light despite being a slasher film. But this definitely goes a little more comedic tone. And loses a lot of the like the baby face mascot killer. Like it's in there a little bit, but it's not the major focus. And this film actually has a stinger at the end that sets it up for a third film, which this one did not do great this weekend at the box office, but the budget for these Blumhouse films are really low. And it's already made back its production budget.
Oh, yeah, by several times. I think there will be a third one, actually.
Yeah. It's like, so even like it's not like as successful as the first or as successful as they were hoping, like I still think there will be one. I enjoyed it. I did not like it as much as the first one, but I thought it was fun. I enjoyed the sci-fi aspect of it. I like the Groundhog Day concept that both films kind of have.
Mm.
It's like, I don't think it's going to blow you away, but If you like the first one, well, actually, I can't say that. I know people that did like the first one. He came out of this one hating it, but
it's
I liked
different.
It. And yeah, it is different. It is not, if you're going in expecting a slasher film set to Groundhog's Day, kind of, this isn't that. This is more of a kind of a sci-fi comedy, where death is certainly the focus, because that's how resets happen. But they add a whole lot more to the world. Like, Tree killing herself over and over, or dying over and over, is actually hurting her body. It's like they kind of throw in that, like, if she does it too much, she could actually end up being permanently killed. So there's some like cool things there. I think it's fun. It's you know, well worth 90 minutes of your time if you kind of like are looking for something like that.
Yeah. You know, the problem with me was I didn't like the first one.
So. Yep. Yep. And I think like she's a major focus again. Like,
yes.
She is the star of this film. So if you don't like her, you won't.
It's so funny though, because like, I very rarely have, like, a big problem for me with the first one is I did not like Jessica Roth, the main actress. And it's very rare for me to have like that type of reaction to an actor where it's just like, I hate you. Like, and the more interesting thing here is like literally everybody fucking, like, I had no idea. I thought she was awful and wooden in the first one, and just, yeah, she sucked. And I think, you know, it was intentional, but she's so unlikable.
Yeah, like that's a major arc of that, of the first film, is like she's kind of a bitch and like an asshole.
See, like, I guess for me watching it, I was like, how much is she acting? What if she's like really like this? And you know, maybe it's because she's like a good actress.
She's like so good at being an asshole that you're just like, yeah, I hate her.
Like, I'm like, you know, she's like that in real life. That's who she is. You know, I don't know. I don't know what my deal was. I didn't like her, but it's so funny because literally everybody loves her.
Yeah, because like, even like, the people that hated this movie, like that did not like this movie, are like, she is great in it. Like,
even like very serious critics, like, just are like, oh, she's such a fucking talent. I can't wait to see what she does. I'm like, I guess I don't know what I missed. It makes me want to like watch the first one again. But
I think if you were to come into it and watch it, and like, because she does have an arc, like where she starts off as this super unlikable person, and then as the film progresses, she kind of realizes she's an asshole.
Yeah.
And like, you do get, at least I did, and I know some of our friends that have also seen it, they also came around and were like, no, it's like she has some personality at the end. And I do think like what drives that film early is her being such an asshole.
Yeah.
That it's like you are okay with her getting killed again. And it, cause like, all right, yeah, kill her again, please. Like,
I don't know. I will see this one eventually. I will see it when it comes out on video. But again, you know, if I don't like the first one. And then for me, the first one, it was, yeah, like she sealed it for me, but it was like, I didn't think the movie itself was that good either. So it was like, I just had no interest. But like, hearing that this is different also makes, and just again, I feel like I missed something the first time with her. So I kind of want to see this because of that. I'll just add one or two other things. One, I saw the director, like the writer director, kind of defending his decision with this to somebody on Twitter. Like, someone who's like just very rudely, like, you know, your movie fucking sucks because you changed it from being like a slasher movie into this. And he like very graciously like explained himself. And I was like, I thought that was funny because. Well,
do you know what he said? Because I actually like the change, because I think if they did the exact same thing again, it would have worked.
Well, that's what he said. He's like, you know, we did that. Like, it's not like that deep of an idea that you can just keep redoing it. And he's like, you know, I felt like the only way to do a sequel that was as good as the first one was to just make it a different type of movie, you know? So it was just so funny, though, how nice he was about it. Because, like, the way, like, it's just kind of very entitled the way that people are talking to, like, so, you know, if you don't like what someone makes, just fucking... You don't have to like it. You don't have to like yell at them about it.
Yeah, you don't have to write a review shit on them.
I mean, I'm gonna be bitching about a movie here tonight, and it's like, I'm not fucking adding Robert Rodriguez and shit on Twitter telling him how much he fucking sucks. Like, it's just, I don't know. Anyways. And the other thing is, it just occurred to me, like, we have a little bit of a theme today because Russian Doll does a lot of Groundhog Day shit too. So,
yeah.
But we'll get to that later.
All right.
Let's go into our, I guess, was the slight box office winner of the weekend, which was Alita Battle Angel.
Yes.
It's a new film that's directed by Robert Rodriguez, written by James Cameron. It's like a longtime dream project of James Cameron. For whatever reason, Rodriguez is directing. And I tell you, I swear I saw fucking like trailers for this like 2 years ago. Like,
I believe you saw early. Yes. Like there were definitely, like teasers out there.
Yeah. And all along the way, I'm like, this looks pretty cool. And I'm never gonna like, I'm not an Avatar fan, but you know, James Cameron has given us some of the best films of all time. So I, you know, you say James Cameron's involved, even if he's not directing, I'm interested. And I don't understand this, like, there's, like, this kind of movement on Twitter that, like, hates him. I just don't understand it. Like, I don't know where it springs from, or it just seems like everybody's, like, waiting to tear down James Cameron, and I'm not.
There's a weird theme going on in not just, like, in film fandom, but in like video game fandom too, that like, people just want to hate things. Yeah. They want to hate things where that people like that are popular that made them, they want to hate them even more. And like, I don't get it. Like,
and it's all, you know, I feel like with Cameron, it's like this, kind of left wing attack that he's not woke or something. I don't like, no one's really expressed what the exact problem is with him. Other than he like says something not perfect in an interview, and it's like, I don't know, if you read the interview, he's not really saying anything controversial at all. Like,
right, like, and you're talking about a guy who like made one of the like
some of the most great like female characters ever. Like,
yeah, I don't get like, yes, guess what? He's a 64-year-old white dude that has a ton of money.
Yeah,
some of his views are gonna be a little off. Yeah. Yeah. But also, like, he seems to really, like, he likes to put women in positions where they are powerful. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I don't, and I don't know exactly, like, I feel like we're, like, guessing at what it is. Like, maybe he said something specific against the Me Too movement or something. I don't know. But, like, again, I'm saying all this to set up what I'm about to say about this movie, but, like, I just want people to know going in, I'm a fan of James Cameron. I'm not out to hate this guy. And I'm not out to tear him down. And I want his movies to be good. And this movie, from the very first time I laid eyes on it, like 2 years ago, has kind of been on my radar. So with all that said, this is Alita Battle Angel. So it's like, it's based on an anime, I guess. Like,
It's based on a Japanese comic book. I believe there's also an anime
adaptation.
Yeah. It's based on a manga. I don't know how you pronounce it.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a one line, like, explanation of what this is, but it's really kind of hard to, like, it's a robot girl in the future, like a dystopia future, who's like discovering who she is. So that's kind of like the general setup of what this is.
Yeah.
Chris, what did you think of like Alita Battle Angel?
I don't hate it, but I have problems with it. I for the most part came away enjoying it. I think the action was fun. Enjoyable to see, like, yes, it's ridiculous at times and makes zero sense why things are happening in this world, even though there's plenty of exposition about it. But for me, like, I enjoyed that aspect of it, and it was enough, like, whatever, the teen drama manga bullshit that they were kind of like flooding into the rest of it. It didn't really bother me. The last 20 minutes of this movie, though, are infuriating. Maybe we can get to that with like spoilers, but yeah, I don't hate it. I came out going, that's fine.
You know, I went into this with the highest of hopes, and about for like the first 20 minutes or so, maybe the first half hour, maybe the first 45 minutes, I was like hanging on to this hope that I would come out of it at, you know, saying it's fine, like you. Like, and that was like, that was my highest hopes after the movie started, where I was just like, oh, I was like, well, maybe this will just be okay. And I think I kind of felt like that way for a good part of it. But by the end of the film, I had turned on it so hard. I hadn't turned on a movie that hard since probably The Nun from last year, where I was just like, by the end of the movie, it made me hate it. Like, it made me mad that I wasted my time with it. Like, I was just like, what? And I guess we could get into, like, part of it is how it ends, I think, for me. But, like, there was no...
There's major issues with the ending.
There was no way of landing this, though, for me, that was going to fix it. To me, this is as forgettable as Ghost in the Shell, or there's another one that came up recently that, like, I kind of reminded me of, where I'm like, it's just, it's that. It's fucking gobbledygook sci-fi. Like, let me go on my little rants here.
Which, to be fair, is a lot of, like, Japanese sci-fi, like, is this type of, like, obtuse storytelling. There's a lot of, like, exposition. There's where characters maybe aren't the most important aspect of it. They love to do a lot of world building. And it seems like you hated all of that. I would recommend you do not watch any... like Japanese sci-fi anime.
Well, that's the thing, is like, I've noticed a lot of people who are big fans of anime and who've been waiting for this are coming away with it like it's all right. But it's like, dude, I'm criticizing films from the viewpoint of, what is this film? Like, it doesn't matter what it came from.
And there are major problems with the structure of this film.
Okay, so like, I have two things that ruin this film for me. One, almost every line of dialogue, and I'm talking well deep into the movie, almost at near the end of the film, nearly every line of dialogue is exposition, where they're explaining some fact about this world before making me care. Like, it's just like, dude, you have so much fucking details and shit about this world. Like, it's all world setup. Like, the whole fucking film is world setup, which would maybe be okay, maybe, if this was like a five film fucking thing.
Well, and the problem with this is,
it's not going to be.
There's that. But also, and from people that have actually, so there is, I guess, a multiple Japanese comics of this. And this takes the first two volumes of that and adapts it. So it doesn't have like, this is like chapter one, maybe chapter two included in what is like a six or seven chapter saga. And it's a bad way to tell a story.
I mean, yeah, because I'm telling you, it's telling me all this. It's like, this is the comparison I made to like try to get people to understand where I'm coming from. It's like, if the very first Star Wars film that was ever made was 2 hours of midichlorians. Like, James Cameron so badly wants to explain every little minutia to this. Like, what, the thing just popped in my head. Like, there's a part where she gets her fucking suit and it glows all cool. And she's like, yeah, that's because it breathes, because blah, blah, blah. Like, you don't have to explain every little thing. It's great for me to know that you had, like, a scientific explanation for something and these blow it. But you're telling a lot of story here in 2 hours, and you're stopping to tell me why the fucking sky is blue, why this, why that. It's just like,
yes.
By the end of the film, that's all you've done. So that is a huge problem. Like, it's just really clunky, bad dialogue too. Like, where it's just like, people don't explain things to each other like that in real life. Like, it's not always, there's very little exposition in real life because everyone's kind of, I mean, here it kind of makes sense because she's new to the world.
Right. So it's like they're trying to explain to her, like, oh, this is what an orange is. And like, there's literally a scene where they explain what the fucking orange is and how to eat one.
Yeah. And it's just, it's not a fun way. First of all, it's lazy. it's lazy writing, and it's not a fun way for me to learn about your world. I want to experience the world. Stop telling me about everything.
Well, and it's like the difference too in film and written word, right? Like in written word, you have to explain all that, like in between the dialogue. In this, like, you can just show a lot of it.
Yeah.
There's no need for you to get in as deep as they do with it.
You know, like, think of like the Terminator. I've just taken one of his very first films. The Terminator, there's exposition in that. Like, he stops to explain what the fuck is going on. But it's like 45 minutes into the film. We're already engaged in what, like, oh shit, there's this psycho killer coming after this girl.
Right.
And then he explains. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, but also, it's like maybe nothing, 45 seconds of explanation.
There's really nothing to grab you in that other than, like, shit looks cool. Like, people are cyborgs and
cool
robots. And, like, there's like this weird murder mystery going on in, like, the first act of the film. And it's like, and then they just drop it.
This is like my other, and the two problems are kind of intertwined, but my other main problem with this is that a good sci-fi story takes one simple idea. Like, it takes our world and puts one twist on it. Like, Fahrenheit 451. In the future, they burn books. Children of Men. In the future, women stop being able to have, it's one thing. Like, and here I'm like, I'm coming out of theater, and I'm like, what was that about? And I'm like, trying to break it out. I'm like, okay, so like in the future, there's fucking cities that float over Earth. And then we got attacked by Mars, and all the cities fell except for one. And then there's this fucking powerful dude, white dude, running the city. And the only way to get in the city is you have to play this motorball game. It's like, it's just too much, dude. And none of it is saying anything. What are you trying to say?
I think ultimately you can distill this down to, like, rich people are bad. And
yeah, like, I guess
that's the central theme of all this. Like, the rich people live up top, and like you can cast down into the slums and to what's an Iron City or whatever. And like you, and like people want to like they want to aspire to go back up top, but it's only perfect people up there. Like, so like you can't just go there. So like I think that you can.
There is a kernel there, yeah.
One, but like you. You have to dig, and there's like a lot of bullshit on top of it.
Like, that should just be what it is. And yeah, not explaining every little thing, like, oh, this is why the soup breathes, and this is why this, and this is why that. It's like, if you're telling this thing in 2 hours and not assuming for sure that you're getting a sequel, like, you have to make this stand on its own, and it doesn't. Hunter killers, like, dude, just so much fucking bullshit. Like, there's so many fucking ideas crammed in here, but most of them are kind of just not saying anything. And they're not like, you know, the hunter killer job. Like, that's not really I don't feel like it comments on anything really. Like, I don't know. I guess it's kind of like people do anything for work, I guess. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Also, like, like the rich people hate us so much that they don't even police us anymore. Like,
yeah.
We have to kind of do it ourselves and like, well, then they don't even do it. Like, I don't know. There's like some weird bullshit there. There's like lots of weird bullshit.
And I guess my problem is that really was so weird, because when I'm trying to like, I was just trying to get to like, what is the basic plot of this? Because I'm just like, what, like, why am I supposed to care about why this girl wants to get up to this? Like, I just, none of it connected. None of it landed.
Right. And like what you actually get is like, I think there's like three full scenes of flashbacks that she is having. That kind of gives you a kernel of, like, there was a war 300 years ago or whatever, and, like, these people from Mars were trying to take down these rich people on Earth because they were destroying the world and exploiting people. But they don't really dig into that, and it's, like, left for she will eventually get there.
Yeah. So, spoilers, like, it doesn't really have an ending either. It's just kind of like, I mean, I guess it does. There's movies that end like that. And I often say I love the ending where it's like, you know what they're going to do next. And that's kind of, this is kind of one of those endings. This is not the type of movie that should have that ending.
It's kind of shitty because, like one, I don't think that the final climactic scene is all that like
No.
impressive. Like there are better fights earlier.
The fight in the bar was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like even her first fight with that behemoth dude
Yeah.
is better. And it's like, I don't know. And then they're like, oh, we're gonna have this fight in like an office where, oh, now she's like the ultimate badass and it's over in 35 seconds. It's like,
And
really?
the fucking and the like the made up sport, the motorball bullshit. I'm sorry. Stop trying to do that. It's stupid.
I mean that is evidently like directly from the adaptation, like
Yeah.
it's straight from there. I don't know. I liked it. It's dumb as shit, but
Yeah.
I do like futuristic, you know, gladiatorial sport where
Yeah.
it's dumb, but I will watch like dumb sport all day long. I will watch robots beat the shit out of each other.
I guess maybe it's just it was just another thing on top though of like all these things that I thought were really poor choices.
Bigger poor choice though is that terrible love story that they shoehorn into this.
I mean, it's again, and like, I don't want to come down on guy. I love some of his stuff, but it's kind of James Cameron's MO, like in the like from Titanic at least on. It's like this a very surface level love story, like a very cliched love story, you know?
Well, and look, I don't have any
I
problem.
love
Like,
Titanic, by the
yeah,
way.
like I look, you want to have the love story in there, fine. But to they go through all this, he ends up being killed. Spoilers, sorry. But he ends up being killed, and then they have this character who's been pretty evil the entire fucking movie. She decides, I'm gonna help her. And I will make a cybernetic body for her boyfriend with for no fucking apparent reason other than
Well,
I was a mother once.
at least
Like,
now it makes more sense because it was kind of creepy the whole time that he wants to fuck a robot little girl too on top of it. Like,
yeah,
who the fuck is going God this movie?
but so they bring this dude back from the dead, and literally 3 minutes later, he's dead again, like permanently. You spent 15
Did they
minutes.
kill him off again? Like, I really didn't even, I
Yeah,
don't
no,
remember yet.
he's like dead. Like he's like in his stupid, terrible looking robotic suit, trying to climb up to the city in the sky, and he ends up getting knocked off and like ripped in half, and she can't save him, and that's how she ends up going back and like fighting the Wesley Snipes motherfucker. And his behemoth dude.
Yeah, I...
That last 20 minutes is infuriating because it did not need to happen, especially the way they ended it. Like, fuck, just end it with him dying and her being pissed off. Like,
I don't know. Yeah, I just felt like a bigger slap in the face that like you never get to the city and there's no, you know,
yeah, this
it's
thing that they've been building up the
the
entire
whole thing.
time.
It's the city. It's just
And
like,
that, like,
I'm
they build
coming.
up this big bad guy, and like we get
You don't
like,
see him.
yeah, like outside of like a hologram or something,
I
or
was
like,
so confused at one point. I thought the bad guy was the brains in the suitcase or whatever. Like I thought that's. I was like, oh, that's who it
no,
was. That
that
he
was
was
Jennifer
controlling.
Connelly.
Yeah. I heard another review say that. I was like, I guess I fucking misunderstood because there's so
Yeah,
much fucking nonsense going
because
on.
I'm gonna butcher his name, Marshala Ali, his character. He's talking to Alita, and it's like, the only way you get up there is, and he opens up the thing. It's like, if she I kept my promise, she's going. All right, whatever.
Another thing that I've heard some reviews touch on is that like there's some kind of questionable like race things in it, and then like you know one thing that people pointed out is oh Mahershala Ali's being controlled by this white rich guy or whatever, and I was like yeah, but that didn't stick out to me as much when I was watching it as that one throwaway line when they like tell some fucking kid that he needs to get over shit that happened 300 years ago. I was like. That was kind of like really surface level, and like you don't have to deduce like what that's saying. I was like, man, like And no one really seems to have caught it. Like, I've listened to people talk about how this thing has, like, tricky things with race. I'm like, that seems like a super obvious, like, that's like a fucking dog whistle. Like, oh, people need to get over shit that happened a long time ago.
Yeah, I think more so than, like, the black dude being controlled by the white.
Because it could have been anybody. Like, it's just Mr. Marshall, yeah. Got hired.
Like, I mean, this film isn't super diverse to begin with.
Like, I don't, you know, again, people have this weird thing where they think, like, racism or racist things are always intentional. It's not. Most times it's not.
No.
That's a message about how people need to get over the past. It's like, dude, that's such an ingrained part of American culture. You can't.
And
I don't think Cameron meant it.
I don't.
He accidentally put that in there.
I think that he was trying to make such a faithful adaptation.
He's not even thinking about it. Yeah.
That line may have actually even been in the.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Book and like,
but you can't release it to the American audience without some people hearing what that's saying, you know?
Right.
Again, like, I don't think he meant it at all. I don't think he's trying to say what it says, but that's another thing people get like really caught up on when you criticize film. Like, oh, did the director or the writer probably didn't mean that? It's like, okay, that's fine, but millions of people are going to watch this movie, and if that message is received by them, it doesn't matter. It
doesn't always matter in the fact that people are going to interpret it however they do.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to know what the person intended, but
yeah,
you know, the message received is more important than what the intent of it was. I think. I mean, that's film studies. Like, they would, any professor would tell you that, you know.
Yep.
So, anyways, but I'm going off on a tangent here. I just think this thing is boring, honestly. Like, and I think that's where you and I diverge the most. Is like,
yeah, I wasn't.
You said bored. You had fun with it, and I was just so bored, dude. I wasn't connected.
I like the pretty colors. Like, I think, like, visually it has an interesting look. Like, and that was enough for me. Like, it could have been the way I saw it. Like, if I had gone into seeing it at a different time of day or a different day, like, I could have come out going, yeah, what the fuck was that? But
yeah,
like, I am not going to hold this up to any, like, high level. Like, I came out going, yeah, that was fine. And then I went and saw Happy Death Day too.
Yeah. All right, let's just do scores. I mean, I feel like I said what I had to say about it.
I'm at a 3. Like, okay. It's fine.
I'm gonna go 2, and it might surprise you. I was leaning towards 1, but I'm like, it's not offensively bad. Like, there's, at least on a technical level, this thing is, there's, it's like a marvel technically, you know.
Yeah,
like
it, what they it's do a with beautiful her. Looking movie.
Yeah, like, but weird. I mean, it's just, to me, so bad on a script level that I almost want to say 1, but I'm gonna say 2, and it really makes me worry about James Cameron. Like, he's doing these 4 Avatar movies. I didn't like the, like, I want to revisit Avatar because I really love that area in Disney World, but
yeah,
boy, oh boy, I didn't like it.
You did not like it.
I hated it.
I did like Avatar, like, so. I don't think that we need 4 fucking sequels.
I mean, by all accounts, Avatar is a better film than this, but like, they both kind of struck me the same way, where it's just like, it's all razzle dazzle and none of the fucking actual magic that made his old stuff great. But anyways, that's my little rant about that movie. I really was going off on that movie for a while on Twitter, but I feel like I got it all out now.
Good.
And that's like, I hate hating it because, like, again, it is kind of just a dopey, like, you know, sci-fi movie, but
it's just, it's there's not enough there to hate.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, you can look at it one way and then you turn it around, you look at it the other way and it's just like, God. So I don't know. Anyways, let's do our last, I think, well, not our last film, but our last new, like, kind of brand new film. That's The Wandering Earth, which I know jack shit about, but I had caught glimpses of people talking about it, and I guess you had too, because you've seen it.
I did. So I caught a trailer of this about a month ago. It is a Chinese language film, funded in China. I believe, like, one of the opening title cards is like People's Republic of China Film Administration or something like that. So like I think they got state money to film this.
Yeah, it might be, I mean, I don't know, but it might be like how Canada is, where Canada just has that built into their government, like you right. can apply. Yeah.
So I saw the trailer and it looked pretty cool. It's the idea of it is that our solar system is doomed, and nice. this is gonna sound fucking insane here, but our engineers, our astronauts, and all the smart people in the world come together to create like a global government to unite us, and they then create they then turn the Earth into a giant fucking spaceship.
That's cool. That's a cool idea.
Like, so like the idea is like the sun is growing and it's eventually going to overtake Earth. For us to survive, for us, like, we could just, you know, do what Interstellar does and shoot off into space with like a couple people. But the idea of this is we're just going to move the fucking planet to a whole new solar system. It's going to take 2,500 years, but we're going to do it. We're going to build this. We're going to make the Earth into a giant spaceship. Shit goes bad about the time, about 20 years later, around when they're reaching Jupiter. The gravitational pull of Jupiter is actually pulling them towards it. Mm-hmm. And they don't have the thrust to get away. So Earth is now going to crash into Jupiter, and it causes all sorts of earthquakes and problems on Earth. And so the whole thing is like, how do we fucking fix this and not crash into Jupiter? It's basically Chinese Armageddon. Like,
this thing sounds insane. I love it. Like,
fucking crazy.
And like, this is more of an idea than Alita. Like, this is what I'm saying. It's like a simple idea. All right, we're gonna turn the fucking Earth right. into a spaceship. Awesome idea.
Fucking stupid, but
I know, but it's great.
It's like, I'm like, yes, I need to go see this. I don't like. It's like when I say it's, you know, Chinese Armageddon. That's kind of what it is. Is like it follows a small group of people that are trying to save the Earth, but. Unlike Armageddon, where it's like we sent Bruce Willis out and Ben Affleck, and they're going to put some dynamite into a fucking asteroid. Like, everybody on Earth is kind of working together here, but we're only really following along with like the core group. And it's a fascinating film. It does not necessarily have as much charm as something like Armageddon or that, but I think visually it's striking. Earth is frozen basically because like we've moved away from the sun, so the further out you get, the more cold it's going to get. You have to go out with like these special thermal suits to get onto the surface. You have to have like a special pass to get there. Everybody else lives underground. So like visually it's very striking, but all rooted in like near future technology. So things are kind of like, you understand what's going on. It's not like Alita where shit's crazy. And
yeah, it's just like convoluted. You keep going back to Armageddon though. Is it like tonally, like, is it like a popcorn movie?
So it kind of is like, yeah, it is, nice. It is a,
liking this more.
It's like a sci-fi action film. It just does not have like, I don't know. I really like Armageddon. I think it has a lot of personality because of the cast. And it's possible that like, because I will say this, I was the only white dude, non-Asian, in fact, that was
out to see this. Yeah.
Because I mean, it's Chinese language film, so subtitles. But so maybe I just wasn't relating to them the same way, and like maybe if I could understand the language instead of just reading what they subbed.
Sometimes humor doesn't translate exactly right. Either, you know.
So like I know that there were some people chuckling in the theater, like, so that they were like actually listening and watching it like normal film, and like whereas I'm reading most of the dialogue, and so things didn't quite translate for me, but I loved it for the most part. It's super fun. It's super dumb, but coming off of like Alita, which is trying to be this big thing, and even Happy Death Day to You, which is kind of a sci-fi film as well. This was just kind of like the stupid big budget thing I needed. It was just a fun watch, like super uplifting. How like Earth comes together, saves us all. And the way they do it is completely ridiculous and super dumb, but it's kind of a blast.
Fun side note is the director Frank Guo, is a big fan. This is off Wikipedia. He's a big fan of the science fiction genre and was first influenced by James Cameron's Terminator 2.
There you
So there
go.
you go. I want to see this thing. Like, that sounds pretty cool. And it's a damn shame that, like, we can't have a foreign language film come out here and, like, be a big hit. Like, it should, like, it just sounds like it should be in every theater, you know?
Yeah,
Like,
and like that was the thing. Like I happened to just be perusing like my A-list stuff, and
like,
the
oh.
poster for it was on the list of movies. It was like shit. Like sometimes I get a lot of Indian films actually at the theater I go to, but it's like, all right, let's click on it. It's like, oh, it's not at mine. Let's see how close it is. And like
Next thing you know.
it's only a 1/2 hour ride. So it's like, you know what, I'll do it. Like and I'm glad I did, because I think that it's a film that is going to get passed up by a lot of people, and I found it really fun. It's one of the more fun and original sci-fi films that have come out in the last few years.
Well, I'm gonna have to look out for it, try to see it.
Yeah, hopefully it ends up on Netflix or something like that at some point.
Yeah, I'm psyched for this. What's your score on it?
I'm gonna give it a 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna do one last movie before we touch on some TV here. And this is like an older film that you reviewed last year, and it's a pretty basic slasher, so I'm gonna have a long review, but it's Hellfest. It came out around Halloween time last year. Low budget, like straight up slasher movie, like it almost felt like a throwback that I remember you gave a negative review of. I think you gave it like a 2.
Yeah, I did not love it.
So I went into it. I mean, I wasn't gonna go into it with high expectations either way, but I went into it like, oh man, like, you know, Chris is a slasher fan and he said it was not worth it. I walked away like it was fun. Like it was totally like I like actually genuinely liked it. So
Good.
I just, you know, for me, the things that made it work were one, I love that setting of like a horror movie taking place at like a carnival or something. And in this case, it's kind of more like Six Flags Fright Fest or something. You know, it's like,
Yeah, where they turn the entire theme park into like a horror
yeah,
event.
like a Halloween celebration, or like I think Universal Studios does that too, where they have like their horror nights or whatever. And so like that's kind of what it is. Some of the like attractions that they go through look like pretty cool. I'm like, I fucking would like to check that out. But then like the thing that really like sold me on it is like the kills are like some good old fashioned fucking 80s gore. I was like, damn, dude, like there's one where a dude gets it in the eye with like a knife or whatever, and it's straight up like exactly how it would have looked in the 80s, where you could tell it's like a dummy's head, but somehow that makes it even more like disturbing in some way. So like I thought like what, where he smashes some dude's head with a fucking hammer and dude's head explodes, and it's a good kill. Like I was I'd forgot. I know I had asked you too. Like, is it like, you know, are there good kills? And I think you had said, yeah, like there are some. But I was expecting it to be like the sanitized slasher shit, like Scream or something, where like, I guess Scream does have some gore.
The hammer one was
Like
pretty
it was,
good.
like I take it back a little bit though, because Scream does have some good gore in it. But like, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
Like,
right.
kind of that post-Scream era, like a lot of the kills would just be like, oh, you got stabbed. And it's like, no, this one's like fucking his head exploding and shit like that. I guess there's not a super high body count, but what's there is good, I thought. And I love the twist at the end. Like, it's not a twist, it's just a reveal. Because the movie does not mythologize. Like, there's just this dude killing people. And by the end, you're like, oh, well, they're not even going to explain what this guy is. And I was like,
They kind of do.
and I dug it.
I think like for me, it was like, yeah, like they could definitely do more of these.
I would be on board
every year. So,
let me see how it did. I mean, it had a budget of 5.5 and did a box office 17.5. Maybe it's not the last one I've heard of it. It just didn't seem to make much of a splash with the horror community either. But I liked it. Our friends I recommended it to seemed to enjoy it. So
good.
But yeah, I'm gonna give it 3. Like, it was never gonna be like this amazing thing, but I was just surprised that I really did dig it, and I did dig like the reveal of what the killer was at the end. And I'll leave that for the people to check out. I personally saying if you like slasher movies, it's worth it. You said no, but I guess be your own judge.
Mileage will vary.
Yeah. And then we have two Netflix things to cap this off. I'll let you go first, which was like a new comedy special, right?
Yeah, this won't take long either. Ken Jeong, probably most well known from like The Hangover. And he was in Crazy Rich Asians last year too. I like him in those films. They're fine. He has a new stand up comedy special called You Complete Me. Oh. And I hated it. I don't know. Like, I enjoy his shtick that he does, like, as Mr. Chow. And I liked him in Crazy Rich Asians. Here, and maybe it's just the style of comedy he does. He kind of plays like a heckler, where he kind of like picks on the audience.
Yeah.
And which is fine. Like, I think some of that was actually pretty funny, but then he goes into these like boring stories of his career. So like he had like a bunch of stories about The Hangover and about Crazy Rich Asians and Dr. Ken, and they're fine, but like they weren't particularly funny. Like, and then this is something that I saw a little bit in the Ellen special. I did not watch that entire thing, but what I did see of it though was, you know, where she's kind of like, oh, I'm super rich, and like trying to be like, but I'm relatable. Like, you can relate to me. I'm super rich. I have a butler. Like, and like he's kind of doing that same thing here. It's like, but in like a snarky way, like, nah, I'm fucking rich, man. Like, fuck you. Like, all right, well, I don't give a shit that you're rich. Like, thanks. I didn't like it when Ellen did it, and she's nice. And like, you're an asshole. I don't actually think the guy's an asshole, because like in interviews and stuff, he seems genuinely nice. Like,
I was gonna say, he always seems really nice when I've seen him in interviews.
Like, yeah, he just seemed like in this, like he was just mean. Like, and I did not enjoy his like what he was doing there, and his stories I did not find particularly entertaining. They were interesting, like, you know, if he was on the couch of like a late night talk show, like hearing him talk about like stuff from like, yeah, that would be cool. Like, you get like a little anecdote from him making The Hangover, or Crazy Rich Asians, or Dr. Ken. But like with this, like, I don't know, I want maybe a little more jokiness.
I want a stand-up special.
Yeah. So it did not hit with me. I'm gonna give it 2 stars.
I would not recommend
it.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on watching it, and I won't. But yeah, nothing against him though, because like I've always thought he seemed like a nice guy. But
yeah, he generally sucks. I see him in those interviews, he seems like he's a pretty cool dude, but this did not work for whatever reason.
There are 8 million stand-up specials out there, and so like at some point I got to pick and choose. As much as I love a good stand-up special, but at some point it's like, dude, there is so much, especially on Netflix.
And this one just, it happened, like I had heard that it had come out, and I happened to be at work, and like stand-up is actually one of those ones that's pretty easy to kind of like, you can kind of have it on in the corner and like listen to it while you're doing something else, and then like look over every once in a while to see how, like, you know, if he's like doing body stuff or whatever. It did not hit for me. So
All right. Well, I got a recommendation for Netflix for people then. I'm not going to go too long on this because I feel like this thing hit and I feel like a lot of people have watched it already. So maybe I'm wrong on that. I don't know. But it's called Russian Doll. It's like a new comedy series of kind of like created, starring, written, directed, executive produced by Natasha Lyonne. It's 8 episodes, half hour each, so pretty easy to burn through. I think we watched it in two sittings. Like you watch two-hour chunks,
Right.
one night and then the other. And it's a very Groundhog Day type premise where this girl who's like my age, like she's like I'm honestly mid-30s. She's at a party. Actually, that's like she's like at her friend's apartment, but it's a birthday party for her that they're throwing. And she keeps somehow dying and starting over at this party where like she starts off in the bathroom of this party and comes out. And she's trying to, as the series goes on, figure out why this is happening to her. She keeps dying accidentally. And I don't want to spoil it more than there. Like that's the premise. Like it's just, this person trying to figure out what's happened to her and solve it and make it stop or whatever, right? There's some fun twists and turns. There's a big, I think, kind of curveball to the formula that happens by like the third episode. But I don't want to like say what it is here because again, this is only 8 episodes, and that's like one of the big things that happens.
Okay.
So yeah, but I generally like really smart, well-written, positive message. I have a fun time. I had a fun time with it plot-wise, but also Natasha Lyonne is just so fun to hang out with. I find her funny. I find her like she seems like someone I would enjoy hanging out with in real life. So like there's that too. Like I just like the personality of this character here, this kind of like sarcastic person. And I like where it goes. I will say this, like a lot of people are really like, oh, the ending is just so amazing. And it's like I think it goes kind of where you expect it to go. I guess it's such like a nice and positive like kind of ending that maybe that's why people like it, but it's like it's totally goes where I thought it was going from like episode five on or so. It's like, oh, okay, I think this is what's gonna be. But totally fine. Like, nice, kind of smart, brainy comedy, drama, romance thing. So gonna give it 4 stars and say if you haven't checked it out yet, everyone is right. It's a fun little show.
Well, it's a I had heard that it was only like 8 episodes, but for some reason I thought it was like I actually thought it was like more of a hour long drama type thing.
No, like you're in and out in 27 minutes most of
Yeah,
the time.
which sounds great because like I was like
It was so
that's
quick.
8 hour commitment. Like this sounds way easier. Like to just hop on, watch a couple episodes, and kind of move on.
It's almost just like a long movie. It goes like it's like a movie you split over 2 nights. That's really
Okay.
how it feels. And I'd say it's worth it. Like it's again, I liked hanging out with her. Like again, I wasn't like ooh, like oh, they really twisted up the formula here. To me, it did feel like the formula, but when you do it right, you do it right. So I enjoyed it. For next week, I have fucking. There's one thing I could guarantee you is I will have True Detective season 3. My full thoughts
Okay.
on that. Other than that, I don't think there's anything coming out. I'll fucking. I don't know.
I will be seeing Fighting with My Family, which is the kind of biopic on the wrestler Paige, who came from like the UK, and how she kind of fought her way to get into professional wrestling here in the United States. So I enjoy her. I enjoy the character that she played. She's like kind of like a pasty white goth girl, but I'm like interested to kind of see like how one goes about like as a girl specifically. Kind of getting into wrestling and seeing how that happens. So like it's the Rock is producing it. He's in it briefly at points. So I was like, yeah, whatever. I will use my A-list to go see that.
Mm-hmm.
There are worse things that I could do with it. So
it looks good. I think the movie looks good, but I don't know if if I make it to the theater, I have to be honest, I still want to see the Lego movie. Those movies kind of never fail me. Like they're never bad.
You know? Yep.
So, but I don't honestly, Chris, throw me a franchise soon. I'm dying here. I got nothing to watch.
We'll get to watching some movies.
All right. So we'll figure something out for next week. But yep. For the meantime, there's plenty of homework. So enjoy.
Movie dudes.